Did you know that during the month of July, you can receive 6 Archbooks for children on the best love parables of Jesus for less than $10? Find out more about this 6-book series, The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, for children ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
The Baha'i faith begins with 2 prophetic figures in 19th century Persia. The Bab was a merchant by trade and came to assert that he was the fulfillment of Islam and that he had come to pave the way for a second divine revelation that would follow soon after him. And we believe that Baha'u'llah was that second revealer.
How can it be that a, and by the way, that was Hillary Chapman. He's a Baha'i instructor and a songwriter, an ambassador of sorts, if you will, for what they call the Baha'i faith, the Baha'i religion. He's talking there about the origins of the Baha'i faith in Islam. And it raises a question for me. How can it be that Islam could give rise to a pacifistic, radically egalitarian religion? Think about what Islam represents today in the world where it holds sway. And somehow, and hopefully in the course of the next half hour, we'll find out how, from that came probably one of the most universalistic religions that there is in the world today. Joining us to talk about the Baha'i faith and on the occasion of the martyrdom of the Bab, one of its prophets, Gretchen Pasentino, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. It's very good to talk to you. And you know, I think one of the best things about your program is that it is so Christ-centered and gospel-oriented that right away your listeners probably already know one of the main distinctions between Islam and the Baha'i faith on one hand and Christianity on the other is that God is imminent. God is close to us. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and we can have direct relationship with God. Sadly, for Islam and the Baha'i faith, God is remote and inaccessible. So it shouldn't surprise us that their ideas about God should not only diverge from each other, but from Christianity too.
So how would you describe the connection between Islam and the Baha'i faith?
Well, first of all, the founder or the person who claimed to be the revealer of the coming of the Messiah in that system of religion was from Iran, from Persia. And the person who claimed to be this future manifestation of the Messiah was also a resident of Persia, or today we would call it Iran. So they both grew up in a Muslim culture. They both grew up as Muslims. But I think to a large extent, the Baha'i faith, whether you trace it from the first revelation from the Bab or Sayyid Ali Muhammad, who proclaimed that he was the revealer of God, or things that were said by Baha'u'llah, who came a few decades later and claimed to be that manifestation or that messianic figure. In their writings, you see a reaction against some of the things of Islam. For example, Islam declares that its narrow way with the 5 pillars of faith, a works-oriented salvation, is the only true religion in the world, and not only are all other religions wrong, but they should be eradicated. The Baha'i faith, on the other hand, teaches that all religions are basically the same and that the time is coming when humanity will so spiritually develop that there will be only one religion in the whole world, and that will be a religion that incorporates the best from all the other religions. In Islam, the superiority of Islam is achieved, if necessary, by force, by violence, whatever means necessary. The Baha'i faith, on the other hand, is entirely pacifistic. There is no excuse for ever taking another human life, so you will not find Baha'is in the military, for example, or being police officers or things like that. Thirdly, in Islam, human value is only as it is decreed by God, and the human value is always subsumed to the progress or the furtherment of Islam. So, for example, you could have someone in Islam who could be convinced by his own belief that it's a good thing for him to be a suicide or a murder bomber, because his individual life really isn't that important. It's only as he contributes to the solidification or the dominance of Islam. In the Baha'i faith, however, all human beings have equal value, and this is, you know, partly one of the strong influences on their pacifism, but they believe that all humans are fundamentally spiritual beings going through a physical transition, and that ultimately they'll reach the spiritual reality or maturity of this universal presence of the eternal God in the eternal world.
So does Baha'i teaching explicitly say Baha'i is the unification of all these religions, is the synthesis of every religion that has ever existed, the final evolution in man's religious thought?
They would say that they are the most advanced manifestation of the universal God, the universal reality, the universal religion as it is today, but they admit that the world as we see it and even their best practitioners are still along the path. It will not be finally realized until some vague time in the future.
Okay, let's start with the center of the Christian faith, because Baha'i tries to fold Christianity into its pale. Who is Jesus in Baha'i teaching?
In the Baha'i faith, Jesus is a prophet. He's a manifestation of God. He is a spiritually enlightened one who came to bring the ultimate unifying truth and knowledge of God to the world. But he is not the Son of God. He is not God manifest in the flesh. He did not come to redeem sinful humanity from the debt of our sin. He does not reconcile us to God. And he certainly is not the one mediator between God and man.
Okay. Let's go to some of the prophets then, starting with the Bab. And then, of course, there have been subsequent ones. I remember having conversations, rather extensive conversations, with someone who was at the time Baha'i, and then later, through influence of this show and then many other influences, ended up actually coming to the Christian faith from the Baha'i. Very disillusioned with his involvement in the Baha'i. But one of the things that he was very insistent on while he was still an adherent to the Baha'i was and what finally actually drove him away were the claims that were made about this guy called the Bab. What are they?
Well, the Bab, he was a man, I mentioned his name before, from Persia. He declared that he was the gate, meaning someone who had been prophesied by Muhammad in the Quran. Well, of course, Muslims will say that Muhammad didn't write the Quran, but it was revealed to him. He claimed that he was the Mahdi, or the new revealer of God, in the same manner as Muhammad, but he acknowledged Muhammad as a higher revelation of God than he was. And he believed he was the 12th Imam of Shia Islam. That's one of the sects of one of the two main sects of Islam, the other being Sunni. So he called himself the Gate or the Bab. If you really want to know what God is like, if you really know what God wants, if you really want to know what the future holds as far as God in relationship to the world is concerned, then you need to follow me in the teachings that I'm bringing. Now, his teachings in some ways were very radically different than the Islam that he grew up with, or the Islam of his day and that dominated Persia, because he was a pacifist, because he believed that all humans are equal, male or female, Arabic or not, Muslim or not, because he believed all religions were essentially the same and they were making more or less accurate or inaccurate representations of the eternal God and his eternal word. So there were very, very many differences between his teachings and the teachings of Islam. As he gained followers in his area, beginning in 1844 is when he declared himself to be the Gate or the Bab, and the next 10 or 15 years, his followers and he began being persecuted. he was imprisoned and then finally executed in 1850. So he had a very, very short career. However, his teachings were very, very influential, and the center of his teaching was that there was coming a messianic feature or a messianic figure that would supersede the revelations given both to the Bab and to prior to Muhammad as the founder of Islam, and that this coming messianic figure would have the fullness of the truth. So that person, or the person who claimed the name for himself, his name was Mirza Ali Nuri. He was an early follower, and he later believed that he was that prophesied messianic figure, and he took the title of Baha'u'llah, which means the representative of God, or the speaker of God, the displayer of God. And his teachings were considered to be fairly direct revelations from God. He was imprisoned in 1852 for his radical teachings, and it was after that that he believed that he was the Baha'u'llah, the messianic figure, and so he began declaring his mission and preaching to the world's religious and secular rulers in the mid to late 1860s. That's kind of a short, a short biography of the two main founders of the Baha'i faith, but it's their writings, and to a lesser extent, the Quran, the Bible, even very diverse religious writings like the Hindu Vedas, also inspire the Baha'i faith. But it is the speaking or the revelation through Baha'u'llah that's considered to be the highest form of God's revelation.
We're talking about the Baha'i religion and the martyrdom of the Bab. Gretchen Pasantino Coburn is our guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. You will find a link at our website to Answers in Action, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. 10 more minutes with Gretchen. And then in hour two, we'll answer the simple apologetic question, who is Jesus? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest.
Be ready always to give a reason, an apologia, a reason for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Craig Parton, speaking at this year's Issues Etc., Making the Case Conference.
There is the apologetical task in a nutshell. Not with arrogance or beating people up or I gotcha, I got a snazzy answer to every question, but in humility, God has allowed us to stand on the shoulders of giants in apologetics. It grieves me that we are so generally ignorant about apologetics and the heritage we have been given as Christians.
You can listen to Craig Parton's presentation, Making the Case for the Historical Jesus, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The martyrdom of the Bab commemorates the day when the Bab was finally taken before a firing squad in the northern Persian city of Tabriz. His followers, who were known as Babis, followers of the Bab, kept the body in hiding because otherwise it would have been completely desecrated. and it began a long journey until it was finally interred in Mount Carmel in Israel, where today is the point of pilgrimage. And if you go to the Baha'i World Center, that's where it is, where the Tomb of the Bab is.
That's Hilary Chapman, a Baha'i instructor, speaking to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly in a recent story about the martyrdom of Baha'i's first prophet, the Bab. Gretchen Pasadena Coburn is our guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, and we're talking about the Baha'i faith and the martyrdom of the Bab. You mentioned before that not only was the Bab killed, but then later the messianic figure, the one who claimed to actually be the messianic figure for the world, was also killed. How do the Baha'i deal with that fact, that the one who claimed to be the Messiah under their system of belief is dead?
Well, in their system of belief, human existence in a physical body is a necessary but only one stage of spiritual development. They see humanity as primarily a soul who has a physical life on this earth in this plane, but may have had other lives previous to that, and certainly will have many lives future to this life on this earth. Not reincarnation, because they don't, nobody comes back to this earth or is a human again or another, earthly inhabitant, animal, insect, or whatever. But they believe that there are multitudes of planes of existence in the eternal universe, and the soul goes through these various planes of existence in its spiritual maturity. So they never expected that Baha'u'llah would live forever, or that he couldn't be killed, or that in some way it would be like the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ, when he comes in his resurrected body for final judgment and the reconciliation of all things and the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. That really isn't a Baha'i teaching. So to them, the martyrdom of the Bab, and let me say this too, it is B-A-B, not B-O-B. It bears no relationship to the guy Bob you know down the street, or my late husband Bob Pasadena. But the martyrdom of the Bab and of Baha'u'llah is just another indicator of the ignorant spiritual plane that most people live on that includes violence.
What is their case? What is the Baha'i case for all religions being essentially the same? It's not difficult if one actually pays attention to the particulars of any two religions, whatever they may be, much less Christianity versus some other world religion, to very quickly see that on many points, not even touching upon who is Jesus, but on many other points as well, they are mutually contradictory. How do they make the case for them all being the same?
Well, they do. In fact, this is one of the reasons that the Baha'i faith is so attractive to so many Americans who have been raised in a Christian or quasi-Christian culture. You talk to the ordinary guy on the street, sadly, even the ordinary church member, and say, what's the difference among all the world religions? And many of them will say, well, I think they're all really the same. Many paths lead to God. There are many paths that go up to the mountain, but if you keep going up, eventually you'll all arrive at the same point at the peak. And pretty much they do as a lot of spiritually ignorant Americans do. They take what they like and say, see, that's the truth. They misinterpret or misapply or misunderstand other things and interpret them into their own worldview and say, see, that's the truth. And then they just ignore or reject, or they say, that's the uninformed part. That's the ignorant part. That's the part that eventually will fall away.
So for the exclusive claims of Christianity regarding Jesus
exactly.
as the only way, they'll simply say that's the product of ignorance. That's a teaching that has to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Not that has to go in the sense that they don't push anybody to do anything, and certainly don't use any physical force, unlike their Muslim foundation or historical background, but in the sense that you'll eventually grow out of that. You'll eventually see how untrue that is and lay it aside. You know, there's a very popular diagram of the well-rounded Baha'i life, and in that, the ignorant, unsophisticated, immature aspect of human existence is contrasted to the enlightened, the spiritually mature Baha'i life. And, for example, they contrast freeloading and gambling and begging with the Baha'i practice of fasting. They contrast materialism in the world with the Baha'i idea of innocent pleasure. They contrast using drugs or other mind-altering things with taking care of your physical body and your appearance. Instead of self-serving and self-advancing activities, they stress service to humanity. Rather than being negative or critical, the Baha'i faith mostly promotes positive things. Instead of saying, "You're stupid and wrong, Pastor Todd, for saying that Jesus Christ is our only Lord and Savior and the only way for reconciliation to God," we'll just encourage you to enjoy the things Jesus said, like, and they'll misinterpret these things, love your neighbor, love your enemy, and do good to those who despitefully use you. And if you practice these warm, fuzzy things, you'll come to learn that Jesus was only one prophet among many, and he was many times misrepresented, and he's urging us all to celebrate the Baha'i faith.
You started by telling us, and I'd like you to finish by coming back around to that, that one of the fundamental errors or differences between both Islam and Baha'i and Christianity is that in Christianity, God is immanent in the person of Jesus Christ, whereas in Islam and Baha'i, and sad to say, so many other religions, God is entirely transcendent, entirely distant from us. Why is that distinction so crucial with about a minute and a half here, Gretchen?
Oh, the core to that question, the core to the answer to that question is that God created us, he knows us personally, he loves us. Even when we fell away from him in sin, whether in Adam and Eve or on our own, he still loves us, and he's provided a way for us to be reconciled to him, to have an immediate and personal and direct relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ's incarnation as a human being, through his act of obedience, he represented what we should have been. Through his passive obedience on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. Through Jesus Christ alone, we are reconciled to God. We have an intimate relationship with him. He's not someone or something far off, some sort of a nebulous idea or principle or influence. He is our creator, our sustainer, our lover, and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship and no longer feel lost away from a God who can't be known.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Find a link to Answers in Action at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gretchen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time and Godspeed.
Thank you so much for your Christ-centered program, my very favorite.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to take up a question. Actually, we've been kind of circling the question a little bit here for the last half hour with Gretchen Pasentino Coburn. We're going to talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the real heart and center of the Christian apologetic. The question and its answer, who is Jesus? That's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.